Good evening, everyone. My Bible's open to Ephesians chapter 6, and I need you to turn your Bible there as well. Ephesians, the 6th chapter, lots of Bible tonight. Get a Bible, whether that's electronic or whether that's paper like I'm using. We want to be in the Word of God together this evening as we think about the tough stuff, some of the significant and serious challenges of being a disciple in our world and culture and environment today. Good start this morning, your reception to the preaching of the Word of God. I appreciate so very much. Talked a little bit about grace and about the things that go with accepting God's wonderful forgiveness, His care and mercy for us. Probably not as warm and fuzzy this evening as we get ready to tackle a very tough and difficult subject this evening. And you can see the schedule for the rest of the week. I would remind you again, Monday night would be a marvelous night to ask a non-Christian to come and be with us. Talk a little bit about what the Bible says, get its perspective on smartphones and iPads and tablets and all the things that entertain us today. Look forward to being with you on Tuesday. We'll think about the Bible and about how we can be involved in more Bible study. Of course, tomorrow's the Lord's Day. Some of you will be in the places that you regularly are, and of course, that's to be expected. We'll have some good things tomorrow. And think a little bit about peace of mind. We're going to talk a lot about marriage and talk a lot about kids. It's going to be a good day for us tomorrow. Your reception, as I said this morning, is just greatly appreciated. There's nothing preachers like more than people who have an open Bible and an enthusiasm for the Word of God, and I found that here this morning very, very much. Let's crank it then. Let's get it going. Let's talk about Ephesians, the 6th chapter, and let's get started on a significant and really tough challenge. In Ephesians 6, I'm reading here in verse 10, finally, Ephesians 6 and 10, finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. I'm going to begin by showing you a picture of a famous battlefield. That is the Teutoburg Forest in Germany, and it certainly doesn't look like a battlefield. It is peaceful and serene. But in AD 9, Jesus would only have been somewhere in the neighborhood of 10 to 12 years old at that time, to place that in your New Testament times. Roman legions marched into that forest in Germany and met with disaster. It is still considered in military history one of the greatest ambushes of all time. Their leader, Publius Quintilius Varus, led 3 legions there to assert Roman control over Germany. What is significant is that again and again, people came to Varus and warned him about the potential for ambush, that enemies were everywhere. He repeatedly and arrogantly refused to listen to any of these warnings. Intelligent reports told him that the foe was all around him, that he needed to be cautious and careful. He refused to listen. He did not even deploy proper scouts in front of his forces. On that fateful day, instead of marching in battle formation in readiness, he allowed his legions to straggle out in a long, disorganized column. Various civilian hanger-oners and other followers spaced in between his armies. They were completely unprepared. The Germans attacked the entire column from ambush simultaneously. The result, all 3 legions were annihilated. 15 to 20,000 trained Roman soldiers were obliterated, and Varus was killed. All because he refused to listen to the warnings being sounded. Get ready. We could be attacked. Watch for an ambush. Stay ready. He was too proud and too arrogant to listen to that, and his soldiers paid the supreme price for the failure of their leader to listen to those warnings. My purpose this evening is to give you a serious warning and to provide you with the intelligence, if you will, that you need so as a soldier of Christ, as we read in our text, we can meet and defeat our enemy. What we're talking about this evening is a devastating weapon that the devil is deploying with incredibly destructive results against marriages, against churches, against gentlemen, both young and old, to the ruination of their lives and their souls. What I'm talking about is pornography. And what I want to talk with you about this evening is what we're going to do so that we can win this battle. Men, I'm tired of hearing reports of defeat. I'm tired of hearing about young men who are being annihilated by pornography. We need to take up the sword of the Spirit, and we need to get ready so that we can take on our enemy and win this battle. And there isn't any doubt that this enemy is everywhere around us today. Our culture is saturated in pornography. It is estimated that the average age a young man sees porn is 12. And lots of experts think that number is way too high, particularly because of the rise of smartphones and tablet devices. Today, 50% of porn will be seen on some kind of mobile phone. You add to that tablet devices, and almost two-thirds of all pornography is being consumed on some kind of portable device. That makes it extremely accessible, very easy for young men, old men, anybody to get their hands on pornography. And it is everywhere. In our world today, the estimate is that about 2.5 billion pornographic emails are sent every day. That is 8% of email traffic. And I would be willing to guess that all of us who have an email account at some point in time have received one of those filthy emails to entice us to go and see pornography. In fact, there's lots of pornography being produced in the United States. A new porn film is produced every 30 minutes. And they're not making them because nobody's watching them. In the United States, every second, 30,000 people are looking at porn. Fully 25% of all search engine requests are for pornography. It is being consumed in epidemic proportions in our society today. In fact, when we look carefully and begin to study some of this, various sites, for example, Pornhub, one of the leading filth sites in the world, they say they have 2.4 million visitors every hour. And the amount of traffic is truly staggering. Porn sites receive more traffic each month than Netflix, Amazon, and Twitter combined. You want to talk about a cost to our society today? When we start talking about the drug war and all the problems that we have with drugs, we are estimating, experts estimate that in our society, there's about 1.9 million cocaine users and about 2 million heroin users. And we think about what we see on the news and how that drains our society of resources and able-bodied people, all kinds of problems, just because we have about 2 million cocaine users, another 2 million heroin users. But we have somewhere in the neighborhood of 40 million regular users of pornography. Suddenly we begin to get the shape and frame of the battle. How devastating this weapon really is. And now you can begin to see why even doctors and sociologists and even secular magazines are saying we need to re-examine this in our society and what it does to our society. My concern this evening is your soul, your eternal destiny. Without any question, it is the internet that has been the game changer here. The internet brings the three A's to pornography. It makes it accessible, anonymous, and affordable. Anybody with any kind of internet access can see pornography in our world today. In fact, because of its ready availability, that's why I'm so pleased that your elders here were willing to say, this is a hard subject, it's not a pretty subject, we wish we didn't have to talk about this, but we must talk about this because it is everywhere and it is costing men their souls. So this is tonight a call to arms, to know our enemy and to go to battle and to win this war against pornography. Now, maybe the place to begin all of that is just to begin with the elephant in the room. What are we talking about here? I know lots of little ears are wondering, what's this all about? Maybe moms and dads are worried about getting home and the little one's saying, hey, what was that guy talking about? What exactly is pornography? Well, let's just let the Bible answer that. Can you find in your Bible Genesis, please? In Genesis chapter 2, look at the end of the creation account there with Adam and Eve. In Genesis chapter 2, would you read there with me, please? In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 25. There we're told, after Eve was presented to Adam in the Garden of Paradise, the first marriage, we are told in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 25, the man and his wife were both naked and they were not ashamed. We can all see that within marriage, there are some things between a husband and wife, and they are fine. There is nothing hidden. They can be together. That's not shameful at all. So kids, we go home tonight after church. Mom and dad go back in their bedroom to change into their pajamas. They're there together. There's not anything wrong. That's just fine. Let me ask you this. What if somebody else wanted to go back in there and watch them change clothes? Can't do that. That'd be weird. That'd be wrong for someone else to be in there. What if somebody went back there with a camera and wanted to take a picture of a woman undressing or a woman without proper clothes on? Can't do that. That would be completely wrong. Post that in a magazine, put that up on the internet. That would be sinful. That's not right. Because there are some things between a husband and wife that are to be between them and that are not for public consumption. You know what pornography is? Pornography is taking what belongs between a husband and wife and making it public. That's exactly what pornography is all about. And I can show you how dangerous this is. Look over in Samuel with me, please. In 2 Samuel chapter 11. In 2 Samuel chapter 11, I'm reading here, of course, about David and Bathsheba. In 2 Samuel chapter 11, if you'll read with me there in verse 1. In 2 Samuel 11 and verse 1. There we read 2 Samuel 11 and 1. In the spring of the year, the time when kings go out to battle, David sent Joab and his servants with him and all of Israel. They ravaged the Ammonites, besieged Rabbah. But David remained at Jerusalem. And it happened late one afternoon when David arose from his couch and was walking on the roof of the king's house that he saw from the roof a woman bathing. And the woman was very beautiful. Now, I'm not going to wade off into the discussion about Bathsheba's culpability. Did she know the king could see her? We don't know any of those things. That's not important. What is important for us to understand is that when a man sees a woman undressed, a woman who is not his wife, who he did not have a right to, even a great and godly man like David can end up in every kind of sin. And it all started when he looked at something he shouldn't have been seeing. That danger, that problem is multiplied a million times over today when Bathsheba is only a mouse click away. Every man here needs to think soberly. If someone as great and godly as David, he wrote the Psalms. He destroyed Goliath. He led the armies of God into battle. This man was a man after God's own heart. If he could be taken down by the temptations that come when he saw what he should not be looking at, what about me? What about you? We need to gather our intelligence and understand clearly the enemy's tactics as he uses this terrible weapon. And I think the place for us to begin that is to think a little bit about how our society treats pornography, because that's kind of a sneak attack where society says, not really a big deal. Boys will be boys. Looking at girly pictures, what kind of big deal is that? Oh, that's just how it's going to be. In fact, our society celebrates pornography. What does society call the women that are involved in that? Porn stars. Oh, who doesn't want to be a star? In one survey, 22% of young adults said pornography was good for society. Does that tell you how backwards things have gotten? Look over in 1 Thessalonians. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, It is a huge deal, brethren. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 tells us exactly why. Because it is sinful and wrong. In 1 Thessalonians 4, I'm reading there in verse 3. This is the will of God. Sometimes young people say, I just wish I knew the will of God for my life. I can tell you the will of God for your life. Paul tells you the will of God for your life. 1 Thessalonians 4, 3, this is the will of God for your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, and that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust like Gentiles who don't know God. If you drop down to verse 7, God has not called us for impurity but in holiness. I will not belabor this point, because I should expect that folks who turn out on Saturday afternoon to go to church would have respect for the authority of Scriptures and God's Word and God's will. But we are kidding ourselves if we imagine for a moment that we can flaunt what the Bible so clearly says, be in open defiance of God and His Word, ignore all that He says, and then say, well, you know, that's just normal. That's what everybody's doing. It's just a phase. That's what everybody is involved in today. No. It is sinful. It's wrong. It's always wrong. It'll never be right. Having said that, let's begin to think even more about what pornography does to those who get caught up in it. Let's think about how pornography changes the way we view the intimate marriage relationship. Here's Hebrews the 13th chapter. Let's turn there in Hebrews 13 and let's consider what the Bible says about the sexual relationship. In Hebrews the 13th chapter, I want to read there in verse 4. There the Bible says, let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and the adulteress. Do you see the high view of the sexual relationship that the Bible teaches? You can find that from the very beginning. Look in Genesis 4 with me. In Genesis chapter 4, look at verse 1. In Genesis chapter 4 and verse 1, we are told there about the marriage bed. In Genesis 4, verse 1, now Adam knew Eve, his wife. She conceived and bore Cain. That term, know, is a term for a profound, intimate relationship. What the Bible tells us from cover to cover is that the sexual relationship is unique. It changes you. In fact, it makes marriage permanent, that it is a blessing from God, and it is wonderful and incredible within marriage. Now let me ask you, what about pornography? What's pornography teach about the sexual relationship? It teaches none of those things. Pornography teaches that sexual relationship is not special. It doesn't matter who you're with, where you're with. Get all you can. It is meaningless. Pornography echoes what we read in Proverbs, please, in Proverbs the 30th chapter. In Proverbs the 30th chapter, look with me there in verse 20. In Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 20, in the description of the wicked woman. In Proverbs 30 and verse 20, here the text says, this is the way of the adulteress. Proverbs 30 and 20, this is the way of an adulteress. She eats and wipes her mouth and says, I have done no wrong. That is entirely wrong perspective on something the Bible says is so special and so blessed. But pornography never depicts the sexual relationship in that kind of way. Instead of showing that as something in the context of love and bonding together, mutual satisfaction within the bounds of marriage, what pornography shows is just animal mating. Sheer degrading lust, oftentimes with lots and lots of violence. That kind of view of what should be going on within marriage is going to have an effect when we get married. Have you thought anything about that at all? Pornography devastates marriage because of how it depicts the sexual relationship and because of how it depicts women. Women in pornography are what? They are just tools to be used for the gratification of a man. They are not interested in talking. They're not interested in being treated as humans with real values and ideas. They are just there to be debased. That's all pornography says about women. So here's a man. He's married. He begins to watch pornography. We'll call him Samson. Samson begins to be involved in pornography. Inevitably, what happens? He looks at those women on the internet, and then he compares them to his wife. His wife isn't like those women who are interested in nothing but nonstop physical relationship. Those women are seen as so beautiful and airbrushed into perfection. He looks at his wife. She doesn't look like that. Now what's going on? Suddenly, instead of being interested in his wife and all the good things that she provides because she really loves him, suddenly he's becoming more and more entranced with the fantasy fake world of pornography. Gentlemen, anything that creates discontentment with the woman who chose you and married you is an evil you want no part of. And in fact, as we begin to examine that, it is no wonder that one study found that individuals who had watched an X-rated movie in the last year were 25% more likely to be divorced. Another study found that pornography use increases the rate of adultery by 300%. One researcher found that as much as 56% of all divorce cases involve one party, at least one party, being involved in pornography. Look over in 1 Corinthians 7. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, in 1 Corinthians the 7th chapter, Paul tells us, in 1 Corinthians 7, as he talks about marriage and about the physical relationship in marriage, that's to be celebrated in marriage. But he says, 1 Corinthians 7 in verse 1, it's good for a man not to have sexual relations with a woman, but because of the temptation to sexual immorality, 1 Corinthians 7, 2, each man should have his own wife and each woman her own husband. I want to stress to you, your own wife. Not a fairy tale, not a fantasy, not something you've seen on the internet. Your wife, a real woman who really loves you. Not the fake mannequins. Isn't that what pornography is about? Women who are being paid to contort and to smile and to pretend that they are interested in this, when in fact if there was not money in the equation, they would do none of those things. It's all a sham. It is all a lie. But sometimes even young men think, you know, when I get married, all my problems are going to go away because then I'll have a wife. But most pornography addicts are married because marriage is not designed to provide an outlet for debased desires where you use another person to gratify yourself. Married men, I say again, don't get involved in something that is going to cause you to look down upon your real wife. Young men, you get involved in pornography, you are storing up images in your head that will compete with your future wife and create dissatisfaction. That's no good either. Which brings me to say, gentlemen, you need to know, you get involved in pornography, it will affect you physically. More and more men today are realizing that pornography creates sexual dysfunction. That's why it's not just preachers who are preaching against pornography. Men are finding that if you watch enough porn, you will be affected physically. The term for that is ED. In fact, I read from Pamela Paul, she's a sociologist, not a gospel preacher, who wrote the book Pornified. She says in her book, countless men have described to me how while using pornography, they lost the ability to relate or be close to women. They have trouble being turned on by a real woman, and their physical relationship with their girlfriend or wife collapses. In fact, That's why Time magazine did this cover story. Not because they're interested in the religious and spiritual implications of pornography, but because so many young men are saying, this destroys my ability to be a man. In fact, one study said more than 50% of those who viewed porn lost interest in their mate. While doing some research, I came across a New York Times article about a company whose function is to screen the videos that get uploaded to giant websites like Facebook and Yahoo. The porn people will try to load their filth there. Somebody's got to be at the front door and say, we're not doing that. So they pay people who sit at a computer monitor and watch hours and hours and hours of video. Someone says, what a great job. Looking at porn all day long. That firm had to hire a psychologist to help their employees. They found their employees were becoming depressed, angry, had trouble forming relationships, suffered from decreased sexual appetite. The CEO of the firm said, these images interfere with your thinking processes. It messes up the way you react to your spouse. If you work with garbage, you get dirty. Is it any wonder that more than half of pornography users are diagnosed with some form of clinical depression? This is especially true because not only does porn affect a man physically, it affects a man spiritually and mentally. It is terribly addicting. I'm going to turn to the wisdom of Solomon again in Proverbs, please, in Proverbs chapter 11. In Proverbs chapter 11, and I'll use the ESV here. I think it's a better translation. In Proverbs 11 and verse 6, the New American Standard uses the term greed, but I think Proverbs 11 and verse 6 is well translated by the ESV where it says, the righteousness of the upright delivers them, but the treacherous are taken captive by their lust. Taken captive by their lust. Now the kind of problems and side effects from viewing pornography are not secret. Lots of people know about this and are talking about this, but lots of men, they still can't stop. Why not? What's going on here? Well, more research is helping us to understand what goes on in the brain when you view pornography. What happens in the brain is that there are chemicals, hormones, that are released. Particularly when a man and his wife are together, there's a shot of dopamine that brings great pleasure. But porn can trick the brain into releasing those kinds of brain chemicals. And that causes the brain to be hungry for more. Can I get more of that? One study that I read, a very technical study, was entitled How Pornography Drugs and Changes Your Brain. More and more MRI research is showing that pornography physically changes the way your brain functions. One expert said, porn creates new patterns in the brain's wiring, and repeated experiences formalize that rewiring, and then enough is never enough. Read Proverbs 11 and 6 again. The treacherous are taken captive by their lust. That's why we hear stories like this one. I absolutely agree, pornography is damaging. It damages my respect for my wife. She's done nothing to deserve this. It damages my self-esteem and respect for myself because I know it is not helpful to our life and to our marriage. It reduces my satisfaction in a wonderful woman. It makes me yearn for things I should not want. It is disruptive to my inner peace, but I can only do without it for about 6 months. It's been an endless cycle. That sounds like something that someone would say about alcohol or about heroin or about cocaine. It was written by someone addicted to pornography. And when you get that kind of addiction, what happens all too often is that men just give up. I'm lost. There's no hope. My brain is wrecked and ruined. I can't get away from it. I'm addicted to it. There's no hope for me at all. I need you to look in your Bible in James, please. In James chapter 4. In some ways, in James chapter 4, please, let's get verse 7 ready. In some ways, I always get a little nervous citing how many statistics, how many people are using pornography, how prevalent it is in our society. It almost becomes like some super weapon. There's no way we can beat it. Don't you believe that for a minute. That is a lie from the pit of hell. In James chapter 4, please, the Bible tells us, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I can tell you that I have talked with many, many young men, many middle-aged men, many old men. As a result of preaching this sermon and Bible class material that I have written, lots of men have come and we have talked and studied and prayed. And I can tell you, you can beat this. You can resist the devil. He will flee from you. If you'll get away from this, your brain can rewire itself again. You can be normal once more. Several years ago, a young man came to Westside where I preach. He identified and placed membership. Afterwards, everybody was talking with him. He finally found a quiet moment, just me and him. He looked at me and he said, I need to talk to you. I knew immediately what he needed to talk about. We went to my office and he confessed that he was terribly addicted to pornography. We prayed together and we talked about these things. We studied in the Word of God. I told him, I'm going to hold you accountable. Every time I see you, Sunday and Wednesday, I'm going to ask you for a number. That number is going to be how many days you've gone without seeing pornography. When I saw him on Wednesday, it was 2 because he had fallen again. But every time I saw him, I would ask him, give me a number. And the number grew and grew and grew. When he moved away from Westside, I looked at him and said, give me a number. He said, 831. You can do this. Don't let the devil tell you you're whipped before you start. James 4, verse 7. What we need to know is that when we draw near to God, verse 8, he will draw near to us. If we will resist the devil, he will flee from us. But a big part of this is just understanding the devastating implications and effects of pornography, all the things that happen to us, all the ways it attacks us. In fact, I'll finish this section of the lesson from Galatians 5. If you look at Galatians 5 and verse 19, maybe there's not a better description, Galatians 5, please, in verse 19, of pornography than in the works of the flesh. There we read in Galatians 5, verse 19, the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality. One translation renders sensuality lustful pleasures. Bingo. That's it. That's it. Those things are the works of the flesh. They are the works of darkness, and they lead us straight to hell. And I hope that you can see that when we talk about getting away from pornography, we're not talking about God being mean or ruining your life, keeping you from all the fun. What we have here is God keeping us from what would destroy our lives now, make us miserable now, wreck our marriages now, and cost us our soul in eternity. We were not made for nonstop lust. We were not made for degradation and to treat something so beautiful and blessed as the marriage relationship like dirt and filth. We can do better and we must do better. Which means that I want to finish this lesson with some very specific battle plans. I want to talk to 4 separate groups here. Let's chart out some strategy. Let's get ready to take on our opponent and let's win this battle. First and foremost, if you're sitting here this evening and this is you, you are addicted, you have problems with pornography, what do you need to do? You need to get real help. That's James 5. In James chapter 5, read with me there in verse 16. Somehow, James 5:16 has become diverse. That means you walk down the aisle and you sit on the front row and talk to the preacher about the sins in your life. There may be some application there, but James 5:16 isn't primarily talking about that. James 5:16 is talking about being in a real relationship with a brother or sister in Christ where you can trust one another and care for one another and pray together. That's what it's talking about. James 5 says, James 5:16, confess your sins one to another. Pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. You need to get help. Overcoming this on your own is nearly impossible. You need accountability. You need someone praying for you. You need somebody asking you, what's your number? Don't overlook as well. Automatic helps. There are filters you can install on your computer, on your phone. Get them. Use them. But there's not anything that beats filling your mind with things that are pure. In Philippians, please. In Philippians chapter 4. Remember what Paul says there? Whatever is true, Philippians 4 verse 8. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable. If there's anything excellent, if there's anything worthy of praise, think on these things. And I would urge you, as you struggle with pornography, when that temptation is there, you need to identify when that's coming. When's the house empty? Oftentimes, pornography addicts struggle when they're tired, when they're bored. Get your Bible. Keep your Bible close at hand. Read Philippians 4:8. Read 2 Samuel 11. Use the sword of the Spirit to go to battle. And more than anything, get up and get off the computer. Get out and have real relationships with real people that you are serving and helping rather than whiling away your life looking at a screen that may lead you to see things you shouldn't see. Secondly, this evening, I need to say a word to our ladies and to our girls, to our sisters in Christ. We think of pornography as primarily a male problem. And overwhelmingly and without question, and even despite the fact that the pornographic industry is trying to teach women to think like men, it is mostly not working. Those visual images do not appeal to women the way they appeal to men. But ladies, what about reading pornography? What about when we get books that fill our minds with all kinds of filth and smut? That is basically the same thing men go to see. We buy a book like 50 Shades of Grey, or we go to the movies and we watch all of that. That's just as wrong, isn't it? It creates dissatisfaction with our husband. It wrecks our view of the intimate relationship in marriage. This is not just a problem for men, is it? And since we are thinking about these things, I should say a word or two, especially to our girls, about the problem of men who are hooked on porn and who want girls to take a picture of themselves undressed and send it to them. That's called sexting. And all the teenagers here know all about it. A recent study of 7 public high schools in East Texas found 28% of sophomores and juniors had sent a naked picture of themselves by text or email. 31% had asked someone to send such a picture. Young women, you need to know something. That is wrong. That is sinful, and it's foolish. It is downright stupid. Once you send a picture to someone, you have absolutely lost control of the image. You do not know where it's going, you don't know what's going to happen to it, and you don't know who's going to see it and when. In June of 2017, a man was tried in Amsterdam. He had coerced young women into sending compromising pictures, then he blackmailed them. One of those girls, Amanda Todd in Canada, faced with the threat that he would make her picture public, went into depression in October of 2012. She committed suicide. She's not the only girl to kill herself after pictures got out or was blackmailed about her pictures. Snapchat, Instagram, almost every social media platform has been used and is being misused in this way. Listen carefully, girls. No man, no boy that you want any part of would ever ask for a picture like that. No man, no boy would ever do such. That is vile, that is wicked, and there will never be any good thing come from you doing wrong. It does not matter if he says he loves you. We're going to start dating. We're going to keep dating. It is all a lie. You don't owe anybody a picture. Don't become someone's porn. Which leads to a third area that needs a battle plan. What about young men ages 8, 9, and 10? Listen to me, boys. You're going to get a chance. You're going to get a chance to see pornography. You're going to be somewhere, and your friend is going to say, I want to show you this magazine I found in Daddy's tool shed. You're going to be somewhere, and someone's going to get out their phone, and they're going to say, hey, I want to show you this website that my brother showed me. When that happens, you are at the fork of the road. This is it. It's decision time. You can look and fill your heart with these evil images and begin that dark journey into the darkness of pornography. Or you can say, I don't want to see that. I won't look at that. I'm not going to look at that. Remember Joseph in Genesis 39? He got up and ran. You may have to get up and run, but you don't want to start seeing these things. It'll mess with your mind. It'll mess with your marriage. It will mess with your relationship with God. Do not start it. And finally then, what about parents here? Mom and Dad, we got to get in the game. We got to get in the battle. That means we need to monitor, and monitor some more. We need to know how to see the browser history on your son, your daughter's internet browser. You need to know how to check what they're looking at on their smartphone. That's where pornography is now. There needs to be accountability. When there is accountability, that gives a kid a chance to say, I can't do that. My dad would kill me. That is not the best reason in the whole wide world to keep from sinning, but it is better than sinning. More than anything, mom and dad, we need to talk. We need to have conversation about this. What do you say if somebody says, look at this magazine? What do you do if a boy says, send me a picture? One sermon isn't going to fix this problem. What does fix this problem is when moms and dads care about their kids and care enough about their kids to have an awkward and difficult conversation about something we wish we didn't have to talk about. But in our pornified world, we must talk about this. We must prepare our children for battle, and we need to go to battle for them. These battle plans, they give us real, practical, scriptural help so that we actually can, in fact, win this battle. 2,000 years ago, Varus led his legions into the Teutoburg Forest, and they were destroyed. They were not ready, and they did not take the threat seriously. What about you? And what about me? Are we prepared for this fight? Or are we sticking our heads in the sand trying to pretend all is well? And then we and our children will be just as unready as those Roman legions were, and they'll be slaughtered by the devil. The call today is for soldiers to be ready and to fight. The call today is for us to see what's happening in our world and rise to meet that challenge from God's Word. When we do that, we can win this battle. Is that tough stuff? Absolutely, it's tough stuff, but this is what we must do today. Would you pray with me, please? Let's pray together. O Lord, our God, our Father, as we look around in our world today, we are sickened by what we see in every place and all around us. We ask, Father, that you give us renewed courage to remain pure and holy in an impure and unholy age. Help us, Father, with courage and with conviction to stand against that which is so wrong. Help us, Father, to assist those who have been caught in this terrible, terrible filth of pornography, that we can assist them in extracting themselves from its addictive hold. Help moms and dads, Father, we pray a blessing upon them, that they can arm their children and equip their children to not become involved in this vile and filthy sin. We're asking, Father, for more courage, for more strength, for more wisdom. We're asking, Father, especially for more faith. Our enemy seems so strong today. Give us more courage and more faith in you and your word that we can win this battle. It's in Christ that we pray, and amen. If you'll grab your songbook, please. I must tell you this. I hate everything about this lesson. I wish I wasn't preaching on this. Sometimes I can't believe the things that we're having to talk about. But this is the world that we live in, and we must stand as light. I commend your elders again for the courage to say, we'll talk about what we need to hear about so we can serve the Lord. As we get ready to sing this invitation song, perhaps we could help you overcome addiction or other sin. Can we assist you in doing right and serving God? If you've never been baptized for the remission of sins upon your faith in Jesus Christ, repentance and confession, if you're ready to become a Christian, we'd love to help you be a Christian. If you are a child of God and you're not serving Him as you should, it's time for accountability and prayer and repentance. We'd love to help you, brother or sister, in just those ways. Can we help you do what's right? Make your way down front while we stand, while we sing.